something happens, you show up, right? So it means that when I was first ordained and living on Cape Cod and got into a car accident, which was quite dramatic, but did not result in injury, miraculously for myself or anyone else, by the time I got home from sorting all of that out, my brother and sister were in my kitchen just to make sure that I was all right. My parents were out of the country, so they weren't there, but they were there just to make sure I was all right. Similarly, when I was a little girl and I got sick in the middle of the night, we were once on Cape Cod and I was sick in the middle of the night and my father was in Boston for work, and there we were, and I was prone to earaches and high fevers as a child, and my mother was accustomed to this. But nonetheless, it was a difficult night that night, and at some point in time, she must have called my father, which caused him to come down to down to Cape Cod in the middle of the night, providing me some relief and also alarm. I was not expecting to see him walk in the door, and I was relieved to see him because, as you probably know, having heard me talk about my father, he and I have a special connection, and so just having him there provided some relief. But knowing that it was a bit of a journey and it was the middle of the night, his presence also caused me some alarm because I wondered what was going on. And in all of those cases, I'm not sure anybody brought anything in particular or did anything in particular, but they stayed. My brother and sister stayed that night, and my father stayed that night and then left in the morning to go back to work some 2 or 3 hours up the road. Because they just wanted to see for themselves that everything was okay. They wanted to be a part of what was going on in this moment, and they wanted to know for sure. And it might be a peculiarity of my family, because there are lots of instances where that is the case, that has been the case, but I think it's true for others as well. When it's important, we want to be sure. We want to see with our own eyes that all is well. So Thomas and I have always been kind of on the same wavelength about that. I understand why he would want to see the mark of the nails in Jesus' hands. It makes total sense to me that he might not believe what his friends were telling him. A dead man walking among the living, how could that possibly be true? And if it were true, it changes everything. So, of course, Thomas always provides the story on the second Sunday of Easter, right? Always the disciples are locked away out of fear, and somehow Jesus comes among them and says, "Peace be with you," and Thomas isn't there. Scripture doesn't tell us where he is, and so he may be getting on with doing something else, but in any case, he is not there. And he tends to be the outlier. Elsewhere in this gospel, Thomas is the one who encourages the disciples to go and see Lazarus, for example. They're pretty convinced, you know, isn't that the place where they were talking about stoning you? Or don't you think that if he's just asleep, he'll be okay, he'll be just fine? And Thomas is the one who says, no, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then in chapter 14, Thomas is the one who asks the question nobody else will ask, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? That's just how he is. Thomas is a straight shooter. He analyzes the situation and makes the obvious statement or asks the question that needs asking just when no one else is willing to do so. So, of course, this man, Thomas, is not just going to take the word of a bunch of fearful disciples about something as spectacular as the resurrection. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." He just states clearly what he needs. A dead man remains dead unless you let me see him and touch him for myself. So Jesus returns, once again through doors that are shut, Once again with the greeting, "Peace be with you." He invites Thomas to touch his hands and his side, and that's enough. Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." His eyes are opened, his reality is altered, his world is changed. God's grace is wider and wilder than he had imagined. That is Easter. Thomas reminds us that sometimes we need to ask the question in order to believe, and that's okay. But also we must be open to hearing or seeing or touching the answer. He reminds us to nurture a vision defined by possibility and abundance, not failure and scarcity, to have the courage to change. He challenges us also to look for the risen Christ right where we are. And that's important, because in our busy lives, our views can become narrow. We can come to expect without thinking. He or she will always do this or that. That will never work. We do not have time for anything other than this is the way it must be done, or that will never happen, or this is as good as it gets. As a result, we miss opportunities or fail to see problems that need to be fixed. And there are challenges. There are so many challenges in our own lives and in the world around us. It's easy to become discouraged. We live in a world where Easter Day brings bombs and Passover ends with violence. We live in a world where screen time has replaced FaceTime and we're losing the ability to connect with people. It's easy to forget, or even not to believe, that God's grace ends deep and wide, as a children's song goes. But it is. Because we also live in a world where the Muslim community in a town stands out front of an Episcopal church and hands flowers to all of the people as they arrive for church on the second Sunday of Easter. Sometimes my heart wants tangible proof like that. In seeking it, I have climbed up behind the altar in seminary to touch the toes of Jesus on the grand reredos behind. I've run out into the middle of a field and stretched out my arms and called to God, and I've sought out quiet places to pray pleadingly to the divine, because I have wanted to see and touch the risen Christ. And those gestures help in a way, but my experience is that he is best found through service, worship, fellowship, and learning in community. He's best found in the places that God calls me to be in relationship with others, seeking, serving, striving, living out my call in the world. This time is called Eastertide, not the season after Easter, because the fact of the resurrection is too much for one day alone. Every single day, we must be ready to open our eyes and exclaim, "My Lord and my God," and to live what we believe. Fortunately, we have the opportunity to do it together.